This morning I spoke with a woman called Judith Sears-Poisson, who has been on the wire before. She's from the Center for Media and Democracy in the United States, and they've just put together their nominees for this year's Falsy Awards. I began by asking her to explain what exactly the Falsies are.
The Falsies are our attempt to kind of cull through all of the spin and propaganda and misinformation that we deal with every day here at the Center for Media and Democracy and give our readers and our fans a chance to weigh in on what they think are the most egregious examples of the year. We slog our way through so many things during the year that it's a little hard for us to keep perspective because we're so aware of the spin that's out there. So we try to narrow it down to a dozen or so. I think we have 13 on the ballot this year. Unlucky for some, but not surprising for many. And we also try to, you know, there's some that we could easily nominate every year, year in, year out, because they're just so committed to disinformation, but we also try to use it as an educational tool just to kind of sum up what's going on, kind of the state of the world as far as PR and spin go from where we see it. And so we put together 13 nominees this year, and then we also leave an open-ended question at the end so people can bring some things to our attention if we haven't put them on the ballot, both the worst spinners of the year and what we call win-against spin. So if there are examples of where the spinners and propagandists have been stopped in their tracks, people can let us know about that so we can also raise awareness about those positive examples as well.
Oh, good, good, good. And if people would like to check out the nominees and vote themselves, where can they do that?
They can go to www.prwatch.org. That's like publicrelationswatch.org. It's in the center column at the top, and you will see the Groucho Marx glasses, which is our symbol for the falsies.
Past winners have included?
Past winners have included the PR industry that produces video news releases, which are basically unpaid advertisements that are used in television news, pretending that it's real journalism. In fact, it's paid for by corporate or government clients and put together by PR firms, sent out to newsrooms who are chronically understaffed and getting fewer and fewer resources from their mega corporation bosses to produce real news and certainly real investigative news. So they rely on these pieces that just get inserted like they're a real news piece, and in fact it's just basically a commercial that's being disguised as news.
That one again this year, aren't they?
Well, they are. We turned it around a little bit because there's a lot that's happened on that issue in the last year based directly on research that we at the Center for Media and Democracy have done. The Federal Communications Commission here in the U.S. has for the first time ever levied fines against a television broadcaster for using those video news releases and not telling the audience that it was actually a PR piece, not a journalistic piece. In spite of that, and in spite of the fact that we've caught many, many stations using these and have blown the whistle and that the FCC obviously sees this as a problem, we were able to track a station in Traverse City, Michigan, which is in the central north part of the country, using at least three video news releases in just a short six-week period. So we decided that just for that, not paying attention to what was going on and not heeding the warnings of the FCC, that they deserved a nomination themselves.
This example you're speaking about, and most of the examples in the 13, primarily U.S. focused, aren't they?
Yes and no. I would say that unfortunately for all of you in the rest of the world, anything that has to do with the war in Iraq or potentially expanding the war to Iran even affects everyone, not just us. We might have more responsibility for it than the rest of the world, but certainly it's something that's going to affect other people. So we think it's important to keep track of those groups, especially those that are trying to start a new war with Iran. Also, number six on the falsies survey is the vaccine for cancer.
Yes, I was going to mention that. It's interesting you should bring that up because, in fact, this morning in the news here, the Ministry of Health, you know, the government, mm-hmm. health ministry announced, you know, they're urgently looking to introduce a vaccination program for this drug, the Gardasil, cervical cancer drug.
Right. This is something that I actually wrote a four-part series on that's also available at prwatch.org. There's a nice toxic green and pink logo in the right navigation bar that's called The Politics and PR of Cervical Cancer. And basically, what we're looking at in this particular falsies nomination is that Merck, which is the pharmaceutical company that produces Gardasil, has been on an incredible campaign to make sure that it causes women and girls and the people that care about them to have this sense of urgency and fear about cervical cancer in order to sell their drug, to sell this vaccine, which is being touted as the first ever vaccine against cancer. Now, that's a gross oversimplification and a dangerous one, I would say. Human papillomavirus, which is what the vaccine is effective against, or is effective against 4 out of about 100 strains, can cause cervical cancer. But if you are infected with HPV, many times you don't even know it, and a healthy immune system will just clear it out of your body like, say, a cold. And you may or may not even know that you had it. Your body takes care of it, and that's it. In the cases where your body is not able to deal with the infection on its own, if you're getting regular pap smears, which, you know, are a very tried and true method that have been used for decades, if you're getting pap smears, the chances are that it will be detected, that it can be treated long before it ever gets to the cervical cancer stage. From the point of infection to actually developing cervical cancer can be as much as 10 years or more. And so what Merck is really doing is causing this sense of panic among people for something that kills, definitely kills some women each year. In the U.S. it's about 3,500. I believe in New Zealand it's a couple hundred. In Canada it's about 400. And causing this fear that if you don't get your child, your daughter, in to get this vaccination or this series of three shots actually, you know, you're practically negligent as a parent. Mm. When in fact, right now Merck has a corner on the market. The next competitor that will probably be approved is a product by GlaxoSmithKline that's called Cervarex. It's showing to be more effective and effective longer in its trials than Gardasil is. So this rush to get Gardasil out, and especially to get mandates and health departments trying to vaccinate, you know, large, large numbers of girls, is really all about Merck's bottom line. And so we thought they definitely, and Edelman, the PR firm that put together this very slick and very well orchestrated PR push, deserved to be nominated for a falsie this year.
One of the other underlying themes in a number of the nominees looks like, you know, science being undermined, or at least being mm-hmm. shrouded from public scrutiny. This is quite scary.
It really is, and again, even if they are U.S. examples, I think something like science that crosses over national borders, thankfully, with scientists coordinating and collaborating with their peers in other countries, is really something to be concerned about. Number 8 on the falsies survey is deleting heating, and it's about an investigation by the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform that found that hundreds of instances had occurred where an oil industry lobbyist who was appointed to head the White House's Council on Environmental Quality that's kind of an Orwellian double speak, isn't it? On environmental quality, this person, Philip Cooney, edited government reports to downplay the impact of human activities on global warming trends, which of course we know has been George Bush's theme all along, and this man has no scientific credentials. Worse than that, he had worked for the American Petroleum Institute prior to his White House stint, and now is working for, guess who, ExxonMobil. So things like that. Certainly yeah. ExxonMobil affects people all over the world.
One that really interested me was the one about the Association of American Publishers, or AAP, who see the small letters at the bottom of news stories all the time.
Right.
You know, being pushing to have scientific journals closed to public access.
Right. Basically, what has happened is there has been a push that, and Congress, the U.S. Congress actually has recently approved legislation that would provide free public access to published research that's funded by the government, i.e. by U.S. taxpayers' dollars. And there's a huge uproar in the scientific community among the publishers, including the American Chemical Society, saying, no, 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 we can't do that. You know, we need to charge these hundreds of dollars for subscriptions for these journals, because that keeps the peer review process pure, and you know, it's all this kind of doublespeak, including a message that they have been trying to get out saying that the government is seeking to nationalize science and be a publisher, and that public access equals government censorship. That's a gem from PR strategist Eric Desenhall, who's been hired by the Association of American Publishers to counter this push for access. So we think that's that one probably deserves its own category of Orwellian doublespeak. that access equals censorship.
There's a whole raft more of them, and unfortunately we probably can't get into all of them, so I really recommend for the listeners to go look at this list on prwatch.org. The one that I thought was nice to see, and you mentioned right at the start of the interview about cutting through PR spin and the opposite side of this award, was the FEMA conference during the California bushfires, where
Right. They
basically filled the room with so-called reporters who were actually FEMA staffers to throw softball questions at the person running the conference. But he's since lost that job.
Right. He left that job, and actually someone else who was involved in it had been offered a very prestigious position with another government agency, and I'm sure just coincidentally that offer has since been rescinded. So there has been some accountability on that, but only because it came out. You know, you have to wonder how many times do things like that happen, and we just don't know about it. And that's why we're here at the Center for Media and Democracy. We try to uncover those things, dig it out, tease it out of the news, make the connections between PR firms and what clients they've worked for before, what clients they're working for now, who might be kind of pulling the strings behind the scenes. And that's what we do. We kind of do it so other people don't have to. So you can come to our site, prwatch.org, and our companion site, which is a wiki at sourcewatch.org. It's an encyclopedia of people, issues, and organizations shaping the public agenda. And we try to put all the information that we have there so people can easily find it and figure out who they're either up against, or if they see, like you said, you know, a few letters at the bottom of an article, they can go there and find information and figure out what the real story is.